How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes are doves. How handsome you are, my lover. Oh, how charming. My lover spoke to me and said, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come with me." How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes behind your veils are doves. Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from Mount Gilead. How beautiful you are, my darling. There is no flaw in you.
Thank you, Cassie, for reading that for us. I'm going to talk to you, Gems, this morning. I'm going to get to you in 1 second. But before we do that, I want to show the body one thing that happened this past week. So if I can get control of the clicker. Whenever you want, it's not going to work, right? Here we go. Okay, so this is just an encouragement to you guys, an encouragement to the body. We all know what happened with the hockey team in Saskatchewan last week. And this comes from our daycare. They sat down for a good while this past week, and they wrote a card, each of them, to the players, families, to friends. And I just wanted you to see this. And they're sending a note along with it to let them know that the daycare is praying for them, and we as a church are praying for them. I found incredible encouragement and just wanted you to see this. The kids are doing so. A beautiful thing. Okay, Gems. Let's see. You know what? This isn't going for me. Let's see. We'll get this together. Just go to the first slide. Yeah, next. Sorry. Okay. I'm going to pass this to you. Do you guys want to try and fix this? So then, meanwhile, I'll just call out the slide changes. Okay, well, you are probably wondering, right, Gems? First of all, let me just say, for the rest of the congregation, this is the one Sunday that I get to speak to you. Ordinarily, right, when we're here together, I kind of address the messages to the whole congregation, to the adults. But this is a pretty exciting and fun Sunday for me because I get to speak directly to you, our Gems. Did you hear that text that Cassie read for us? That wasn't the easiest of all texts from the book called Song of Solomon or Song of Songs, right? It's not that easy, and I wonder if some of you were thinking, is it working now? Yeah, great. Okay, I wonder if some of you were thinking, uh-oh, what on earth have we gotten ourselves into? I know some people who saw the text I chose for today were kind of going, Ed, do you remember that you're talking to little girls here? And now we're going to talk about a text about a lover and his beloved, and oh, how beautiful you are, my darling. So beautiful, there's no flaw in you. Like, what have you gotten yourselves into? Are we going to talk about dating? Going to talk about the future? Going to talk about, you know, what are we talking about this morning? Well, let me tell you what you've gotten yourself into this morning. And actually, instead of just telling you, let me show you. Let's play a little game to begin. I'm going to show you a picture on the screen, and I'd like you to tell me whether or not the image that you see is beautiful or not. Okay, so let's take a look at this first one here. What do you think? It's beautiful. Some people just got back from there right now. Really beautiful. Okay, how about this one? Beautiful, beautiful flower, right? Lovely colors. Okay. And that? A little cove. It adds a little mystery. What's in there? It's beautiful. One of my favorite dogs, absolutely. Next to this one. That's our dog. That's called Sadie. How about that? Yeah. Well, this was parked in front of me when I went to see Leisha Bolt at the hospital after hip surgery. And I took pictures because I thought it was pretty beautiful, too. For those of you who don't know, that's a McLaren. It's a very, very nice car. How about that? No? Beautiful in a kind of a different way, though, right? Like, it's kind of wonky, but it's beautiful. Okay, how about this? Ooh. No, I'll flip it quick. Lots of people hate those. But let's redeem the spider. How about that? What the spider makes is pretty beautiful. That's beautiful, right? The light shining, the wetness of the web. It's beautiful. Well, okay, one more. How about just one more? How about this? Not just your appearance, but in every single way. Or if you thought somebody else was going to look at you, do you think that their conclusion is going to be, you are beautiful, and they'll say exactly that? That might be a little bit more of a difficult one, right? But you know what I know? I know that each one of you and each one of the people sitting here in this pew wants, and in fact needs, in the deepest part of who we are, I need this too, for somebody to look at us and to say what the lover says to his beloved in that book called Song of Songs in the Bible, that really strange and wonderful book. We need somebody to look at us and say this: you are beautiful, my darling. So beautiful. There is no flaw in you. We want that. And we need it. And you know how I know? It's because we human beings engage in a lot of time in what might be called beautifying activity. We try to beautify, make beautiful ourselves in different ways, right? Like, for example, lots of different ways. Maybe it's with facial beauty or makeup. We beautify ourselves. Or it could be by trying to get a chiseled body. I'll go from that one quickly. All right? But then it's not only that, but we might seek to be a beautiful actress. And some, do any of you know who this is? The Gems girls? Who is it? Call it out. Shirley Temple, who was a really beautiful actress. Absolutely wonderful. Fun. Or you could have the beauty of intellect, right? Who's this guy? Albert Einstein. He was a really smart guy. Really super smart guy. He had a beauty. We might think about one day or every day dressing up so that we look super beautiful, and people will look at us and go, wow, you are beautiful, my darling. So beautiful. There's a little problem, right, that we have as human beings. Sometimes we seek to be beautiful or we want to be beautiful, but things can happen and we don't feel so beautiful. We can kind of overdo it, like this guy. We might overdo it in different ways, like with too many rings, right? Or maybe just we feel sad. And so, while we may appear beautiful still in one way or another, but we can feel not so beautiful deep down in ourselves. We feel ashamed. We feel hurt. We feel broken. We feel scarred. And so we don't feel beautiful. We don't think that when people look at us, they're going to say, we're beautiful. I kind of have a funny example of this in our own story, in our own life with Michelle, and I have permission to tell the story. I just want you to know that right up front. So 17 years ago, my wife, Michelle, who's one of your GEMS counselor, and myself were married, and a couple months after we were married, she said, I'd like to dye my hair. What color do you think I should dye it? And I said, well, how about blonde? You've never been blonde before? Blonde would be fun. And so she said, well, I should probably go to the hair salon and do that, because it's really hard to go blonde. I'm like, well, that's expensive. Just go to the store and buy one. They wouldn't sell blonde dye if you couldn't make yourself blonde. So she went and bought blonde dye from the store, and she was pretty dark hair at this time. And it didn't turn out quite right. So my thought was, we'll just buy another box and do it again. So she did that, and it was fine. It was looking pretty good, as you can see here. This is when all the soap or whatever it is still in your hair, and it was all right. And then it still wasn't perfect, though, so I said, well, do it again. And so she went out and bought a third box, and then went into the bathroom and washed her hair under the sink and blew dry it, and said, come on in, Ed, and take a look, and here's what I saw. So So we had a good chuckle about it. She actually went to the salon and got it fixed. But the point is, sometimes we can try to make ourselves beautiful and we want to be beautiful, but it doesn't really work out. And that could be hard for us, right? And the biggest problem, according to Scripture, as to why we don't feel beautiful is because of this. Tell me what you see in this image. What's a word that can capture that picture? Sad, okay, yes. Hiding, yeah. What's another word for that? Shame. Do you know the word shame? When you're hiding in shame, this is kind of the image of shame. And shame is different from guilt. Guilt says, I did something wrong, and shame says, I am something wrong. Like there's something fundamentally wrong with me. And so we don't feel beautiful all the time because Scripture says the truth of the matter is we're not entirely beautiful. There are things about us that aren't right. And this thing is called sin and brokenness. And so we have a problem, don't we? A big one, because we want to be beautiful. We need to be beautiful. And at the same time, Scripture says, but there are things wrong. We're not all that we were designed to be, all that we could be. So what's the solution to this? How do we begin to feel beautiful again? Well, there's a clue. And I saw it on a video. And I want to see if you can see it as well. Take a look at this video, and then we'll explore it together. Go ahead.
Would like your singing?
I don't know.
First honest answer we've had today.
Okay, off you go then, Connie. You were absolutely brilliant. I thought you sung that beautifully, okay? And Amanda was crying, so she obviously liked it.
I'm a complete mess.
Which means there's only one person who you need to really impress, and that's the nasty Simon. What do you think? Do you think he liked you or not?
Connie, I'm going to talk to you like an adult, okay? Because I think it's important. I thought you were fantastic.
So you see what happens there? Connie Talbot gets up before a huge group of people, and Piers, the one guy who's sitting at the left of the screen, says to her, "Do you think the queen is going to like your singing?" She's like, "I don't know." And then she sings, and everybody's finding it pretty beautiful. But what matters, as Piers says, is here comes the important point, the nasty Simon. right? Because Simon, if you've watched the show before, Simon never lies. Simon always tells the truth. Simon says, I thought you were fantastic. And then everybody gets excited and starts clapping and uproarious. And why does that work? Simon says, I thought you were fantastic. Why does it work? Because Simon has what? He has the authority. Simon has the authority, and this is how it works, right? If somebody with authority looks at us and says, that was fantastic, then we can believe it. Like, for example, our dads might tell us that we're a really good swimmer, but what if Michael Phelps sees you in the pool swimming and says, you're a really good swimmer? Michael Phelps won over 7 gold medals. Or our moms might tell us, well, you're a really great gymnast, but what if Nadia Comaneci looks at you, who won all sorts of gold medals as well in gymnastics, and tells you that you're a great gymnast? Then we know it's true. And what if Jesus looks at you and looks at me and looks at all of us and he says, you are beautiful, my darling. There is no flaw in you. Could we believe that word? Does Jesus have the authority to say that? Well, he does say that to us. And it does make all the difference. He deals with that shame that we have a right to, in a sense. And you'll say, well, how do you know that Jesus does that? How does Jesus have the authority to look at us, even though we are broken, right? Even though we do things that aren't wrong, even though we aren't perfect, even though we aren't always beautiful, there's ugly bits to us. But Jesus can look at us and say, you are beautiful, my darling, so beautiful, and I want you to know that. How can Jesus say that? Well, let me show you something super interesting that we find in the Song of Solomon. It's like a little secret thing going on. Throughout Scripture, there's a combination of two spices that you see over and over again, but only about 5 or 6 times. You know what those spices are? It comes up in the Song of Solomon too. It's myrrh and aloes. Myrrh and aloes. And every single time myrrh and aloes come up in the Bible, it comes up in the context of a lover and his beloved. So we see it, for example, in Psalm 45, verse 8, where King David is about to get married, and we are told that his garments smell like myrrh and aloe. They're fragrant with myrrh and aloe. We see it again in Proverbs chapter 7, where there's a woman who's trying to entice a man, and she too is perfumed with myrrh and aloes. And then we see it in the Song of Solomon, where the lover and the beloved come together in a context of myrrh and aloes. The one he wants to marry is covered in myrrh and aloes, the scent. And then we see it one more time in Scripture, which is really, really fascinating. You want to guess where it is in the New Testament? In the Gospel of John? It's really strange. Just after Jesus has died, before Jesus rises from the dead, Nicodemus, a man who'd earlier visited Jesus at night, brings a mixture of myrrh and aloes. And just so that we won't miss the poetic point here, 75 pounds of it. That is a gargantuan amount of myrrh and aloes for one single body. And maybe it's because the fragrance, the smell of that myrrh and aloe is to go a long ways away. What is the author telling us here? He's telling us that Jesus is the groom or the bridegroom who's being prepared to marry his bride. And where will that happen? Well, that happens on Resurrection Sunday, when Jesus rises up from the dead and he receives Mary symbolically, but the church symbolically. And he says, you are beautiful, my beloved. There is no flaw in you. Because Jesus did what in his death? He paid for our sin. He made us clean. He takes away our shame. So here's the thing I want to encourage you to this morning. Whenever you are not feeling precious like a gem, which is to say beautiful in every way, I want you to go back and remember myrrh and aloes, and remember that Jesus got covered in myrrh and aloes because he wants you He wants each one of us to be as his bride. And he does say to you, in my eyes, and through what I have done on the cross, you are beautiful. And I am making beautiful things, namely you, today. Okay, let's pray together, and then we're going to sing beautiful things. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray that you would indeed help us to know just what you have done on the cross. We desire, Lord, to be beautiful in every single way, to be looked at and not to be found lacking. So many of us so often feel that we lack, and so we try to find things that will make us special, to make us valuable, to give us an identity, to make us beautiful. Help us to see that we are only truly beautiful, Lord, in and through you. And help us to turn around and say back to you, wow, because of all that you are and all that you have done, you too, our Lord, are the greatest beauty there is in all this world. Receive our praise now. In Jesus' name, amen.